Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. And today I have a special guest. It is none other than Jason Kessler, the organizer of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in August. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be able to talk to you. Now, my listeners probably know that I attended the rally. I went down. My plane was delayed. I got there late. My driver got to Charlottesville. We got to Charlottesville. Oh, what time was it? The rally was supposed to start at 11, right? I think we got there at 11:30. And
I think it was supposed to start at 12 o'clock.
Okay, so we got there at 12:30 then. Yeah, and coming into town, we saw people walking away from McIntyre Park. We saw the Traditionalist Workers Party. I could identify them. We saw the League of the South, and some of them were stranded. They needed a lift, and we gave them a lift back to the parking lot that they were at. And then we went back to see if there were any more stranded people. It would have been probably 1 o'clock by then. The rest of the League of the South people had been able to leave. And so, having called Dr. Duke, I knew what had transpired. I called Father Francis from Stormfront Radio. I knew that the police had asked the rally participants to disperse, and the rally participants, being law-abiding people, had dispersed and were all on their way back to their respective camps and motels or wherever, and they left town. So my driver and I, we went back and parked about a block or two from Lee Park or Emancipation Park and started walking around. And I'm just telling you my experience. I want to hear your experience. But we walked to, there's another park. I forgot what it was called. And it was on Jefferson Street and I guess 4th, which is, if you know Charlottesville a lot better than I do, it's like three or four blocks to, I believe, the east of, or to the west, one or the other, of Lee Park. And it was occupied by what I was told later was a Pennsylvania militia group that had come to keep the alt-right in check. Okay, they were not on our side. They weren't Antifa either. They were kind of a third side that ostensibly wanted to keep us apart, which would have been fine. But this reporter told me really to keep us in check. And then I walked south to Water Street and would have gotten there, 1:30 or 1:50 or something like that. And it was maybe 20 minutes after the James Field car accident. And I didn't know what had transpired. It took a while before I really figured out what had happened. There was certainly a lot of commotion. And, later on, watching the various videos of the car accident and then comparing them to the photographs that I took and that I posted on Daily Stormer, because seeing as I was not going to be able to be at the rally, I figured, well, I'll just mill around with Black Lives Matter. I'll go behind the lines, mill around with Black Lives Matter and write a story on that, which I posted on the Daily Stormer. But I recognized a lot of people from who would have been witnesses to the accident. And that was my experience. So I was milling around. I spent a lot of time around the scene of the accident. I was not a witness to the accident, but I was milling around. I know that there were a lot of blacks who were very hostile to whites, and they didn't care who the whites were. And so these white Black Lives Matter people were being subjected to a huge amount of abuse, at least verbal abuse, from neighborhood blacks, from the blacks that live in the housing projects just, I think it's south of Water Street. I'm just letting you and the audience know, what I experienced on that day. Now, you were there, and I know there are lawsuits, and I know that you need to raise some money to for your own defense, and I know that we've got that you're also involved in the legal defense and the fundraising for these individuals who are jailed. So having said my piece, I'm going to hand the mic over to you, and you can say whatever you want, but how about letting our audience know, you know, what transpired that day, or what have been the implications for you?
Sure. Well, first of all, Charlottesville is ground zero for white rights in the United States of America, not just on August 12th, but long before that, and it's going to be the same long after that. We are in a protracted legal battle for those who want to help out with that. We have fundraisers up on GoFundMe and on Patreon. I guess we can provide a link to those in the show notes, but essentially...
But a lot of people don't go to the show notes, so I want you to say it verbally so that people will be able to... So everybody get your pen and pencil out.
So Google Patreon, that's basically our alt-tech version of Patreon, because Patreon bans me and bans everybody else. So Patreon, and then there is a Unite
with an H.
The Right fundraiser.
So it's a play on words of Patreon, but it's Patreon with an H. It's a play on words. It's kind of funny, and it will. It's a way of getting money to places and people who are banned by Patreon or PayPal or those others.
And then there's the other one is GoFundMe, which is a play on GoFundMe. So GoFundMe is the one that all the enemies like to use, and they shut down people like us. So one of our guys created a fun little site called GoFundMe, which plays on the fact that a lot of the Jewish people who are in control of the media and just about everything else call us Goyim. So that's Goy, G-O-Y, GoFundMe.
Okay, so that's how they could go and help out. And this is not just your legal defense. Who else is involved in this?
So there are a number of legal efforts, but the one that I'm involved in, which I think is the most serious, is representing me. It's also representing Matt Heimbach and the Traditionalist Workers Party. It's also going to help to the criminal defense of a couple of individuals, Dan Borden and Jacob Goodwin. They were involved in the parking garage incident, which the media portrays as being a racially motivated attack on an innocent black man, DeAndre Harris. But in fact, DeAndre and his buddies were involved in a gang called the Straight Crud Boys. And they were following people. They were shooting flamethrowers at them with an improvised blowtorch. They were hurling racial abuse at these white men, and they grabbed a Confederate flag from one of the demonstrators, pulled him in, and then DeAndre bashed him over the head with the Maglite, could have killed him. Mm-hmm. And then it just, it turned into a scuffle. And these young men, you know, they're young and they have their whole lives in front of them. And the media has just tried to convict them in the court of public opinion by making it seem like they just attacked because they're just mean racists who are violent and terrible people. Mm. And that's not the case. They were defending another guy.
An older man. Man with the Confederate flag, I believe he was older. And we don't necessarily have to go into detail about, you know, accounts of what transpired there, because people can see it for themselves. It was recorded by cell phones, video cell phones from multiple angles. And if you Google DeAndre Harris, Google or go to YouTube and search for DeAndre Harris parking lot, you'll probably find a whole bunch of videos on it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And everything that happened leading up to there is sort of just demanding fair treatment for white people. That's all I was asking for, because I live in this city where we have this black vice mayor named Wes Bellamy, and he was trying to tear down this statue of Robert E. Lee in Lee Park because he hates white people. And he said that. He said it on his Twitter many times. I don't like seeing white people around town. I hate white people. He said, My favorite thing about being down south is seeing the look on the faces of little white men when they have to look up to a black man. He just on and on. He said, mm-hmm. It ain't rape if she moans. All this stuff, and the city was going to let him get away with that. He was removed from the Virginia Board of Education, where he was one of only like 9 or 10 people deciding what goes in little kids' heads in the public school system in mm-hmm. Virginia. Mm-hmm. But they decided that this guy didn't even need to apologize. Mm-hmm. And so I made a stink about it. You know, I blew the whistle on the fact that this guy is trying to tear down not only the monument to Robert E. Lee, but also going after Thomas Jefferson in Monticello. Thomas Jefferson's university, UVA, is here in Charlottesville, mm-hmm. and it's a big part of the character of this community.
Absolutely. He was the architect. I mean, he actually did the architecture for the main academic building, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Which
it's
is modeled
it's
after
a work
his...
of art.
Yeah, it's a work of art. It's kind of a Roman style, and it's modeled after Monticello, his mansion, which is widely regarded as kind of an architectural masterpiece. He was extremely important and intelligent person. Wes Bellamy, I saw him being interviewed on CNN, and you know, he has made all of these really reprehensible statements, and CNN kind of made light of it. They didn't repeat anything he had said, but they did say, well, you in the past you've said some things that you that don't really represent you, or that you regret later, or something like that. And he just said, yes, well, you know, I've learned a lot, and now I have a PhD. Can you imagine him with a PhD?
Yeah, I mean, any white person who'd said any of the things that he said, like one of the milder things he said was white women are the devil. So if a white man had said black women are the devil, he would have been run out of that job. Mm-hmm. He would have been kicked out of university. I mean, they would have ruined his life. And that's part of the problem that I was trying to bring to light. And it doesn't seem like there's light at the end of the tunnel just yet, because you know, I tried to hold a rally where we could talk about these issues, and instead of being allowed to talk about them, they tore apart the U.S. Constitution to be able to keep us from having a platform.
It's amazing. Now, a day or two after Charlottesville, if you're not comfortable talking about any specific incidents because they're in current litigation, that's fine. Just let me know. But you know, I saw you on national TV. You were trying to make a statement in front of, I believe, the Charlottesville courthouse, and you were attacked and it had to be evacuated, right?
Yeah.
So you're under actual physical threat, right?
Yo, absolutely. That is what's happening. Is that all the intimidation that these people say that they're getting from nationalists or right-wing people, it's exactly the opposite. I mean, these folks listed my home address. They harass my family. They call me and threaten me. They post all kinds of lewd stuff on social media. When I tried to hold the press conference, and what I was trying to do at the press conference was disavow political violence, mm-hmm. because things didn't turn out the way that I wanted them mm-hmm. to, certainly. Mm-hmm. And as I'm doing that, people come up and start hitting me and pushing me and tackling me. And the police, who I requested to show up to protect me, were doing nothing. Like the Charlottesville police, just like on August 12th, they didn't show up. And I told them what time I was going to be there. There were state police there, just like there were on August 12th. But while I was being attacked, they were backpedaling and not intervening. So they purposely allowed me to be roughed up because they did not like what I had to say. So that's where we're getting with Charlottesville, and it's so important that people pay attention to everything that's going on here, because our rights in the future are being decided right now by the litigation and by the activism that's going on here. When they decide that they don't like what somebody has to say because they think it's mean or racist or misogynistic or whatever, and they are thus justified in using violence against you, that is our future. And we have to put an end to that behavior.
Absolutely. So with the James Fields incident, so I was in that general vicinity about the time it happened. And I just want to describe a little bit about the atmosphere. So this happened, I don't know, it was 1:30 or so when it happened, but by that time, the various groups participating in the Unite the Right had left. They had left town when there was the order given, and I saw them evacuating. I saw the Traditionalist Workers Party. I saw, I recognized and saw and helped in the evacuation of the League of the South people. I know there was the Vanguard, I guess they're Vanguard Europa. Everybody left town, but who didn't leave and who should have been subject to the exact same state of emergency police order, Black Lives Matter didn't disperse. This militia that I saw in that park, I forgot the name of it, they did not disperse. The black neighborhood gangs didn't disperse. Rather than not dispersing, they continued to march. They marched around on the streets. Now, this James Fields, I don't know how much we should talk about him. I know he's got legal stuff coming up. I've never met him, and I never saw him. I didn't witness him, but I was in that area at the time it happened, so I can speak a little bit about the atmosphere. And so you had the Black Lives Matter crowd and the Antifa, didn't mention them, the Antifa were there in force and in regalia, and they're marching around, they're marching on the streets, blocking traffic. And he's from Ohio. To my knowledge, he came alone. And to my knowledge, he probably had never been to Charlottesville before. And so he was driving alone in a car, presumably trying to get out of town. He was in that neighborhood. He was certainly attacked before the accident happened. He had his front windshield already busted. I'm pretty positive from reviewing the video evidence. And then immediately before the accident, there's plenty of video footage of an Antifa person stepping out into the street while he is driving rather slowly down the street and hitting them in the back of the of his car with a flagpole. And this is after his front windshield's already busted. And that's when he accelerated and wound up going into a crowd. He's still being held. Has there been any hearings for him at this point? Do we have any news on him?
I think he's got a court date on December 14th. I'm not sure exactly what's happening there. I know a few things about his representation. He was originally appointed a public defender. Mm-hmm. This was sort of a cucky Republican at first, not a very squishy guy on identity issues, and he recused himself. Then they appointed a Democrat named Denise Lunsford, who definitely would not have been able to do a good job representing him. And somehow or another, I guess his family came up with enough money to get him a decent attorney, and now he's represented by a guy that I think will try and do a good job by him.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a whole lot we can really talk about regarding him, but he seems to have come down all by himself and didn't have any links to anybody. Is that your understanding as well?
I mean, that's my understanding. I'd never heard of this guy, never spoken to him. The rally was over for hours, as you said, when the car accident, which is the only thing I can call it, happened. And I was at a party, and we were watching the news, and just these crazy things just started popping up. The car accident, and it was almost unreal. Like, this had nothing to do with my rally, and now they're mm-hmm. saying that this happened because
right,
of the rally.
Right.
And then
okay,
there was
well,
a helicopter
we're about to go
crash.
To break, but let's pick this up as soon as we get back from the break.
I'm I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Back, and we were just talking about the James Fields auto accident, and you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, it just came as a complete shock to me, and I've been trying to piece this thing together from the outside just like everybody else has. I mean, I don't really know anything more than anybody else, except that I live here in Charlottesville, and so there's certain things that I've seen, and people have been collecting video. But my understanding is that, yeah, his car was attacked. It was sort of like the Reginald Denny incident, where a white man was pulled out of his vehicle and beaten when he was at a stoplight or something like that. And so I believe the guy got scared and hit the gas. There's a lot of funny business going on. People here in town keep bringing up the fact that that street was supposed to be closed off, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. There were several vehicles in front of him. So the video I've seen is I've seen him circling around that block. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that's the behavior of somebody who is not familiar with a town or a downtown area and doesn't know how to leave.
And so he turned down the wrong street. And there are one-way streets around there too, right?
Yes, that makes it very difficult. Like, you can go one way and be forced. And I think that he saw other vehicles on the street and maybe thought, well, this is the way to go. And then he got blocked. There was a woman in a purple van at the end of that street, right. And she wasn't doing anything. She had her phone out taking selfies. And then while she was doing that, as you also said, there were legions of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other communists and far left groups marching through the street during a state of emergency.
Right.
It was illegal for them to be out there.
And if anybody if anybody doubts the communist nature, the photographs I took shortly afterwards, like about a block from there, include people holding up signs with, you know, communist banners. And then also I have a video of a woman making a speech calling for a communist revolution. She was from some communist organization. That was all up on my Stormfront article. Sorry to interrupt you. So we're talking about actual communists.
Yeah, there were a lot of communist regalia out. A lot of them had that raised fist symbol that they're using in the NFL recently. There were a lot of the roses for the what is it? The Socialists of America, the
Socialist
Democratic
rose,
Socialists
yeah.
of America, mm-hmm. The Communist Party. I mean, it literally says Communist Party. So, I mean, there could be no doubt about what their affiliations were. And these are the grassroots of the Democrat Party. These people were extremely violent. When you see the Fields incident, I mean, they were armed to the teeth with baseball bats. They were wearing masks. We have a felony no mask law here in Virginia. So whatever the situation was with that accident, it's not as cut and dry as the media would have you believe. But I think it's going to be quite a while before we really get the story on that, because the establishment politicos and the media have invested so much of their credibility in framing this as a deliberate attack that it's going to be really hard for them to walk that back.
And regarding the timing, you mentioned that this happened a couple hours after the state of emergency order and everybody was ordered to leave. And if this guy was by himself, and he had been, there is a photograph of him with, I guess, Vanguard Europa. And was that at McIntyre Park?
I'm not sure where that park was.
And McIntyre Park.
Mistaken. It might have been Lee Park.
Okay. So originally most people parked near Lee Park, walked to Lee Park, and then the venue was changed to McIntyre Park, which is quite some ways, especially if you're not familiar with it and you have to walk. And then McIntyre Park was shut down, and that's where people evacuated from. And it was a drive, especially if you don't know where you're going, and you're on foot and you don't know where you're going to get back to your garage from McIntyre Park. This is why he could have become the stray child. All right, we're coming up on our next break, but let's continue right after.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all while they're waiting. The banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? Oh, what's that they're saying? The while they keep playing, I'm humming and swaying. It's the good ship Robert E. Lee that's come to carry the cotton away. Watch them shuffling along. See them shuffling along. Go take your best gal, real pal. Go down to the levee. I said the levee. Join the shuffling throng. Hear the music and song. It's simply great, mate. Waiting on a levee. Waiting for the Robert E. Lee.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
And welcome back. So you were about to comment on the timing of the Fields accident.
Yeah, I do think that he was a lone wolf just because of the fact that he was in a car to begin with. It was a public event. We were, you know, allowing anybody to come so long as they were going to be peaceful and respect our speakers. But I was specifically telling as many people as I could, even on public forums like the Facebook page, do not park in this area. Mm-hmm. And that's even when there's not an event. So there's no parking. I told people, let's meet at McIntyre. We're going to have shuttles that are going to go into the event. And we did have shuttles. Part of the problem with that was that they were supposed to get police escorts, and those vans were supposed to park right next to the park, and the people could just go right in. But the police didn't show up, so folks would get out of the vans, and on their way walking into the event, they're being hit with pepper spray and bricks and baseball bats and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, I think that he just wasn't in the loop because he didn't get that memo and evidently parked somewhere near the downtown mall where the event was held. And when he was trying to leave, he was just caught in this chaos.
Yeah. So, we don't know anything about him, but there's no reason to assume that he came with any kind of malicious intent.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I want to ask about Chris Cantwell because he's just been stuck in Albemarle County Jail for months now. He was accused of pepper spraying some, I don't know whether we can say guy or girl. It was transsexual,
a transgender,
person,
yeah,
transgender individual, mm-hmm. who then later at a at a, I guess a, what is it, a hearing to decide whether he was a bail hearing, that she had to, had to recount his earlier accusation because it had not actually happened. Nonetheless, there's Chris Cantwell, even though his accuser had to recount the accusation, he's still down there. What's going on with Chris Cantwell?
Well, Cantwell is the victim of this lynch mob mentality that the media and the political class have created, because he was the subject of a Vice documentary, which is a far-left online news outlet, where they just portrayed him as this complete madman. And, I mean, to be fair, they use some of his own words, and he plays it up because he is a shock jock. Mm. That's what he does for a living. But they cut out any reasonable arguments he had and boiled it down to the most shocking bits that they could find, and it just made him bait for these political prosecutions. He has been maliciously prosecuted, I believe, by the Albemarle County Commonwealth's Attorney Robert Tracy, who has just taken this transgender individual into his lap and, you know, nurtured them and got that person to give him anything he could use against people he politically disagrees with. This Commonwealth's Attorney is a Republican, supposedly, and this transgender is actually one of the leaders of the Antifa here in Central Virginia, so they would seem to make strange bedfellows, but that's the way that it has gone. They came up with three felony charges against him for use of pepper spray, a device that pretty much every woman in New York City has in her purse, and he used it in self-defense. But
while he was being attacked, and there's video evidence that he was being attacked, right?
Yeah, well, the person that he sprayed, who we don't know the identity of, he's referred to as Beanie Man because of this piece of cloth that he had on his head, and Beanie Man was fighting with other people. He was instigating violence. Then Beanie Man got knocked down on the ground in the midst of a struggle. He got back up, was charging at Cantwell with maybe like four or five other Antifas behind him, and Cantwell made the assessment that he could not defend himself with his fist against five people, so he used the pepper spray. Uh-huh. Now, the transgender, she talked another person named Christopher Goad, who is this big-time Confederate hater in Richmond, Virginia, into coming forward and pressing charge against him. Goad said that Cantwell sprayed him directly in the face, and Gorsinski, the transsexual, said that it was indirectly sprayed and it felt a burning sensation on its skin. But I was at the preliminary trial for Cantwell, and his attorney acquitted himself very well. He got two of the three charges dropped in preliminary, which is really unusual, because he was able to show, look, this guy claimed he was sprayed directly in the face by Cantwell, and that absolutely did not happen. Mm-hmm. And the prosecutor didn't seem to care, which is why I'm saying he was maliciously prosecuting, because when he learned that account of being sprayed directly in the face was not true, he pivoted his argument to press forward with these charges, which were like malicious use of a caustic agent, deployment of tear gas. It goes on and on. It makes it sound like he was gassing Syrian refugees rather than using a personal self-defense device.
Yeah, and so Cantwell is being held without bail, whereas where's DeAndre?
Yeah, DeAndre is probably safe at home, or he's out making rap videos with the hundreds of thousands of dollars he raised on his GoFundMe. The excuse that they're using is that the Unite the Right demonstrators were from out of town and don't have ties to the community. But, you know, I mean, whether Cantwell is a flight risk, I don't know. He turned himself in immediately.
He turned himself in immediately. Yeah.
He's a public figure, too.
Did DeAndre turn himself in immediately?
I'm not sure about that. He talked to his attorney, and I don't think that DeAndre really ever had to step foot in jail. That's been the problem with all of this, is that they lock our people up and deny them bail. And then the other side, they don't even do proper policing procedures on the people who attacked me at my press conference. They didn't even send them into booking One of the guys, his identifying mark is a tattoo on his forearm, and they didn't bring him in and take pictures of that like they should have done. So there's been a lot of incompetence, purposeful negligence that has played against us here.
Right. And, you know, that's officialdom. That's the police. That's the court system. Now, how about the media? You mentioned Vice, Vice Television, Vice TV, and they had a documentary on Chris Cantwell where he's a shock jock, and they used a few statements that he made that's what he does, and they selectively edited him and portrayed him in the worst possible light. Now, Vice TV, one of their most famous documentaries, because they do these documentaries, is on General Butt Naked. Have you ever seen their documentary on General Butt Naked?
Isn't that the African warlord?
Yes. The warlord from Liberia, notorious warlord, who would capture children, get them addicted to drugs, and then brainwash them, send them out to hack off the hands of villagers, you know, and then he was also a notorious cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, he's a warlord, murderer, cannibal, he mutilated people, but now he's a Christian minister, and so they made a documentary about what a great guy he is.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah, he was dressed in his Sunday best.
He was dressed in his Sunday best, and then he's talking about he had gone into exile, I guess, for a while in Nigeria, and he's talking about walking through a Nigerian open air market and smelling some frying meat and recognizing it as human flesh, which he kind of liked the taste of, apparently. So Vice, you know, if you're General Butt Naked and you're a notorious warlord in a brutal civil war and you recruit an army of children, he's General Butt Naked because his soldiers would go into battle naked because they thought somehow that gave them magical powers. But and you're a cannibal, a former cannibal, you're redeemable, you're reformable. But Chris Cantwell, he said things that might hurt people's feelings, and he's not okay.
Yeah, I mean, Vice News has a penchant for sensationalism across the board, but in the case of Butt Naked, they didn't really have a political aim that they could achieve, right? It doesn't matter what they say about him. The people in Liberia aren't really going to be watching Vice and changing their minds about it. But here in America, they can play into this moral panic about race, and more specifically, right now, it's going on that anybody who is to the right of Mitt Romney is being called a Nazi.
Right.
So they want to play into this Nazi panic, and I think that's part of what's happened with the media in general, is that anybody who's in the know knows that the president of CNN, the president of NBC News, the president of CBS, the president of ABC, they're all Jewish.
They are.
So when they're doing these sensationalized stories saying that everybody at Unite the Right is a Nazi, that's just not the case. And they're playing into their ethnic interests, which, you know, a gullible public is buying into, because they don't know about the ethnic interests of the people who run these media companies.
Mm. Now, you mentioned, okay, so you named this rally Unite the Right. And basically anybody could show up. Now, you didn't necessarily want some of the groups to show up. You started the planning of this when, in May or April? It was months.
I did it about 2 months in advance, so I think it was in June that I submitted the application.
You submitted the applications in June, and you probably had been thinking about it and planning it, you know, at least for some weeks before you submitted the application. Now, there was maybe a month or so before your rally, but a month after you had submitted the application, wasn't there a rally, a very small rally by a small number of Ku Klux Klan people?
Yeah, I think that that rally really hurt us because I had no idea this rally was going to take place. I submitted my application, and then when the media reported on my application being approved, they didn't just say Unite the Right is approved. They said Unite the Right and Ku Klux Klan rally are approved. And this supposed KKK group, which a lot of people are very skeptical of for various reasons, you know, had a rally scheduled for July 8th, about 1 month before mine. And I didn't know these people from Adam, but I called the number that they had on their website, and I said to this guy, please do not come. You are going to ruin my rally by doing this. We're going to be associated with you, and it's going to mess us up. And he was like, oh, well, we've already taken off work. So that happened, and the lasting impact of that was, number one, I think the KKK has a lot of baggage. So whether they're saying that they're standing up for white people or not, normal people get scared when people come out in those robes and stuff. It's just not a good thing for us to be associated with. Then the second thing, more importantly, is that there were a lot of counter demonstrators for that event. So you maybe had like 20 KKK people. The police actually did their job at that rally. They escorted these people in, and there were like 1,000 Antifa and Black Lives Matter and just normal liberals there. And they were crying for blood. It was biblical. It was like when the mob was crying for Jesus, and Caesar said, well, I'll have to release Barabbas if that's the case. And they said, sure, release Barabbas, but we must kill Christ. So not to compare these guys to Jesus Christ, but it was very similar because these guys came, they did their speech, and they were peaceful, and they tried to leave, and this mob of Antifa and Black Lives Matter surrounded the parking garage where they were supposed to exit out of, and were telling the police, you are in the KKK if you do not hand us over to do violence to them. So the police dispersed tear gas and got these people to get out of the way so they could evacuate the KKK groups. So the effect of that was that the ACLU and all these liberal so-called civil rights groups came out and tried to say, oh, it's abuse of power. The police were violating the demonstrators' civil rights by forcing them to disperse when they were crying for blood, you know. And so when our rally came around, it was in the context of this police department getting beaten down by the ACLU and all these powerful liberal interest groups telling them, if you lay a finger on Antifa or Black Lives Matter, we're going to sue the hell out of you. So I guess they took that into account. Who is more likely to sue, Jason Kessler or these powerful groups backed by the ACLU? So really, it turned out that they're screwed either way, because I'm going to sue the hell out of them. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, they caused a situation which got people hurt and got people killed because they didn't want to do their jobs. They were afraid of lawsuits.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, so this event at Charlottesville, when a month from now, when they're doing all of the look backs on the year 2017, this is going to be in every look back. They're going to look back at this. This is one of the big defining events of 2017. And I'm sure that when you first had the idea and you went down to get your permit at Charlottesville, you could never have imagined what a huge impact it was going to have. So I want to know, how has this changed your life?
I mean, it's dramatically changed my life. Of course, I didn't expect it to turn out like it did. I knew we would get national and even international coverage, but I thought it would be for our speeches, and it turned out to be for something much different. However, you know, I think that we did the right thing, and that this is a learning experience that we're going to take with us, because we have to keep doing activism, both online and in real life. We just got to be smarter about the way that we do things. My life, I've become the target of everything imaginable. I had to move out of my home because of my address being posted and hostile people coming around my home. I used to be able to do handyman work in my area. I can't do that anymore because my employer is scared to send me out. He thinks it'll ruin his business. I have people pressing charges against me left and right for things that have nothing to do with the rally. It's just these vindictive prosecutors in this area are trying to collect my scalp because they're running for political offices, and I'm the big bad neo-Nazi guy in their estimation.
We're coming up on our last break, but we'll be back, and I want to hear the rest of your story after the break.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
And welcome back to the show. So, Jason, you were telling me how your life has changed, and so I'd like you to continue, and I'd also like to know what are your plans for the future?
Well, the events that have transpired have dramatically changed the course of my life. I was originally going to plan to do more and more rallies and keep going around the country and speaking to people, but now it has fallen into my lap that this has got to be a legal battle, and that's what's going on. We planned to sue Charlottesville from the beginning, but finding attorneys who were willing to do it was really rough. Attorneys who were willing to do it for less than like $400,000 anyway. And we have found an attorney, a very brave attorney from Ohio, and another brave attorney here in Virginia. And so we are going to be suing these people for civil rights abuse and for violating the federal court judge's order, because as people may know, we had a permit that we sued to have reinstated in court, and it was granted by a federal court judge. So Before we could put our suits, the city sued us for an injunction to say that we can't do rallies anymore. And this would have far-reaching impact all around the country. It's so-called creative legislation because it's virtually without precedent what they're trying to allege. But
well, we have a First Amendment right to assemble and petition the government.
Yes, and they're trying to take away people's First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, and 14th Amendment rights. That's what it boils down to, is they're saying, well, there were these militia groups there with guns. People shouldn't be able to rally with guns. The people who were assembled had viewpoints that we
and
don't
I just
like.
Want to, I'm going to interject for a second. The people who assembled with guns, these militia people, were not part of the Unite the Right.
No. No, they were not.
They were not.
They were lawfully assembled, though.
They were lawfully assembled.
They were not at the rally. They were.
And they were not there in support of the rally. And not in support of the rally. They were ostensibly neutral with the objective of keeping the sides apart.
But, and they didn't break any laws. They were exemplary gun owners in every sense of the word. I mean, sure, they had some big guns. But those were legal, and Virginia is an open carry state. It's just that they are in a very, not just liberal, but communist city where people do not believe in gun rights, period. So people were freaked out by seeing those weapons. But anyway, that's the gist of that lawsuit. Then there's lawsuits from people who were injured in the rally, who are claiming that I'm responsible and should pay them. And that is not going to happen either. I had nothing to do with any kind of violence that took place. It was all on the city government and the fact that they told police to stand down. And that's what we're going to prove. That's why it's so important for people to go and support us on those fundraisers that we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, is because this could take 2 to 4 years to affirm our rights. Mm-hmm. And many of the people who are fighting this, They're trying to take away our livelihoods. They take down our websites. Cantwell's website has been taken down. Mine's been taken down. Mm-hmm. They press charges against Cantwell. They press charges against me. And they're just trying to overwhelm us to the point that we are not able to defend ourselves. Right. And if we can't defend ourselves, no one will be able to defend themselves, because they will set precedents which will stifle our speech and our civil liberties.
That's right. And make no mistake, we really are under attack. Look at the massive street crime that whites are subjected to, and we can't even talk out about it. And the news media tries to cover up, Colin Flaherty has his whole YouTube channel on this. On the show yesterday, I was talking about the massive systemic discrimination against whites at Harvard and other elite universities. I'm sure it goes on at UVA as well. Okay,
absolutely.
Well, we're at the end of the show. One more time, how do people contribute to you? To your legal defense?
Well, you can find the links at Patreon, that's HATREON, or GoyFundMe, GoyFundMe. You can also find information on my website, which is jasonkessler.us. And you can contribute with Bitcoin or credit card.
Okay, well, Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I will hope to have you on again sometime soon.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.